All right. Well, if you have your Bible, let's turn to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. I want to share this morning. We're starting a new series today called Abnormal. Abnormal. We're living in a time where it seems like Christianity has gotten real normalized, and it seems like we all look alike, sound alike, we do things alike, and we all get the same common results. I don't believe that we are ever supposed to have common results. I don't believe that we're ever supposed to have things that are just everyday things. You know what I mean? I believe God wants us to stick out like a wonderful sore thumb. And so, all that being said, I was talking to a group the other day. Well, it's been a while back now. And I was talking to them, and I said, you know, how many of y'all, growing up, and they were young, how many of y'all miracles were normal, commonplace? And not one hand were raised. And I understood that, and I kind of expected that because, a lot of times it's just not normal to see supernatural things on a regular basis. Growing up was very unique in my household. You know, my mother, the way she got saved, my mother was a Hindu. From the island of Trinidad. Trinidad was populated by two groups of people. They were populated with African slaves. The Europeans came over. They brought slaves because, you know, all the Caribbean, all the Europeans liked all the produce that came from the Caribbean, and a lot of produce, coffee, and all that kind of stuff. And so, of course, none of the Europeans wanted to come work it, so they brought slaves over from Africa. And so you have the Africans there. But then after a while, they couldn't get anybody else to come and manage the plantations. Britain had a colony in India, and so they brought a lot of the Indians from northern India to come down and work with them and manage. And they can handle that tropical climate. You know, the British, you know, their climate is not like that, you know, and they got the pasty skin. They just all, you know, don't like that heat and stuff. You know what I mean? We spent a lot of time in Great Britain. We know what that's like. And so they couldn't stand that sun. That's what it is. There's too much sun. And so I think when we were in Ireland one year, and we were there in July, and we went to this little island off the coast. I mean, it's a dot of an island. It's probably like maybe 2 acres or 3 acres for the whole thing. It was a beautiful sunny day. And the guy was like, listen, we get 3 sunny days per summer, and y'all just happen to get the right time. And I was like, praise God. But anyhow, so that's, you know, that's what's down there. And so the Indians from India, and most of them were, of course, Hindu. And so that's kind of how it got all mixed up down there. And so Mom, as a young Hindu girl, she had some Christian friends that took her to a crusade in 1959. The evangelist's name was T.L. Osborne. Short little redheaded dude. Little guy. Last time I saw him, he was 88 years old. He was about this tall, slender, and he had curly red hair and a curly red beard, okay? And so the guy had preached. Matter of fact, I didn't know this until a friend of mine told me, but there's actually, they did a video, a documentary of that crusade called The Healer of Trinidad. And so with that, Mom saw a kid who lived the next village over from my dad. They weren't married just yet. And this kid was the next village over, and he had one leg that was shorter than the other. And so that night at the crusade, she watched this leg grow 6 inches right in front of her eyes. Now, it was kind of cool that my dad knew the kid. So my dad wasn't there at that crusade that night. My dad was, was working. So Mom goes to my dad's village, goes, tells my dad, look, you know, that kid over there, I watched his leg grow out. So Dad was like, well, let's go see. So they jumped on his motorcycle, and they drove to the next village, and sure enough, and there was lots of people there, checking this dude out, because again, that's what happened. So that night that Mom saw that, she didn't get saved at the meeting. She got saved later on. Her friends went to the beach and because she was taught, she wanted to know about this stuff. And so they wound up leading her to Jesus, and she wound up getting saved. Well, the next thing that happened, once my mom and dad got married, they couldn't have babies. She had all kind of stuff going on. There wasn't fertility doctors in Trinidad. And there might be some today, but there wasn't none of that back then. As a matter of fact, there wasn't a whole lot of doctors at all. You know, I told you the story about my grandmother, my mom's mom, and if you think I'm weird, this is the reason why. So my mom's mom had breast cancer, and she just took care of it herself. She cut her whole breast off. And so now that didn't kill her, but she couldn't deal with the infection. The infection finally killed her. I think it was several days later. But anyhow, so mom went to every person, every healer that she could find regarding trying to get pregnant, and it just didn't happen. So when she came, she got saved, came to America. She was looking for a church that believed in miracles. And there wasn't a whole lot back then. There was a couple of Pentecostal churches that she heard, still believed in miracles. And that's where she got kind of turned on to Oral Roberts, because she had heard that Oral Roberts and T.L. Osborne were friends. And Oral Roberts was doing a lot of ministry here in the United States. And that was 1963 that mom came over. And so with all that, she found a church that liked Oral Roberts and that accepted miracles. And isn't that weird that some churches don't accept miracles? But you got to think about it. There's still today, there are groups that believe that miracles ended with the original 12 disciples or apostles. And so, and then of course, nowhere in the Bible does it say that. So anyway, so she wound up going to a meeting where somebody prayed for her, and sure enough, she got pregnant, and of course had three kids. Well, before the third kid was born, the doctors had told her not to get pregnant because she had a tumor, and it was growing. It's in one of her ovaries, and so sure enough, she went to the doctor at one time. Something was going on, and she went to go get checked up. And as they were checking out that tumor, they did see the tumor. It was a grapefruit-sized tumor. They also saw that mom was pregnant, which they told her not to. Okay, and so anyhow, so my brother came. My mom was only 6 months pregnant when my brother was born. And so the day they ran her to the hospital, the doctors had told her, listen, there's no way he's going to live. And if you don't if you don't make a decision to abort the pregnancy, you could die also. And this is back in 77. And mom just said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to kill my baby. And then they said, well, he might be born handicapped as well. I mean, they're working her over, trying to tell her. They just did not believe. There's no way that he'd be alive. And so they wanted to focus their efforts on saving my mom. And so mom winds up telling my dad, say, listen, I'm going to be fine, but tell, just be ready, because it's possible that the kid won't live. And so sure enough, they give her anesthesia, and it didn't take. And so they wind up giving her another set, and she crashed. And so they're on the table. She wasn't even, delivered just yet, but she crashed. They lost her pulse, everything. They brought her back, and they got my brother out. When the doctor went in, because basically when the OB got out of the field of getting the baby, another internist stepped in to get that tumor, since they had her open, and it was an emergency C-section. So they went ahead and went all the way, you know what I mean? And so anyhow, when that internist went in to get that tumor, it was gone, and they had seen it 2 weeks prior. So that was one of the next things. See, that was kind of a normal thing growing up. It was normal to see some of this stuff, but then you start seeing, not every place do you see miracles. We had things growing up. I could just go through list after list of different things that's happened growing up. And so for us, that was normal, but mere Christianity or common Christianity, that's abnormal. That's abnormal. But if you go to the Bible and you look, and we had been in Acts chapter 6, we talked last week or past couple weeks about how Stephen in verse 4, they'd chosen Stephen to help wait tables. And then because of Stephen waiting tables, great things happened, and the word grew. Verse 8 in chapter 6 of Acts, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. What are signs and wonders among the people? Well, signs are things that are a sign of God, or show that God, wow, that must have been God. When that lady this past week gave me that testimony about what happened with her dad, I immediately said, man, Jesus is good. Because we want to let people know this is a sign of God. Now, signs from God isn't like a bleeding Mary or a teardrop in a statue. I mean, that's just crazy stuff. But if I'm talking about something that blesses, it increases, it helps humanity, that humanity is needing, and we know it comes from God. And so God still does that today, and he wants to do even more. There's even more things that God wants to do. So what is a sign? So those are what signs are. Now, wonders are real simple. It's something that says, wow. That's a wow thing whenever there is a wonder that happened. My pastor, I tell a story about my pastor, Dr. Bill Smith. He went to heaven, I want to say, close to 10 years now. But his ministry was awesome, supernatural. He did a lot of ministry in Africa and India, and there were thousands upon thousands that were healed of cancer, of tuberculosis, of leprosy, everything that's incurable. Matter of fact, he was so known in his circle of ministering healing from cancer that he was used to people coming to his house literally across the country, knocking on his door at 2 and 3 in the morning, and he would open the door, lay hands on them, pray in Jesus' name, let go, shut the door, and go back to sleep. And that was it. That literally was it. That's the ministry of laying on of hands. Laying on of hands, what the Bible talks about, is not praying for people. It's just what it says, laying on of hands. And so anyway, so it was a normal, it was a very normal thing for him. As a matter of fact, in his ministry, he raised 3 people from the dead. Now that's abnormal in common Christianity. Raising people from the dead. That is not normal. And so is that something that we recognize today? Is that a part of our heritage or how we are today? Well, if it's not, it's time for us to get into the abnormal, because it's not in normal Christianity, but we were never called to live in normal Christianity. So it says, Stephen, full of faith and power, did signs among the people. Now, you can write this down or turn there in Acts chapter 17, verse 6. Acts chapter 17, verse 6, it says this. It says, and when they had found them not, talking about some disciples here, they drew Jason and certain brethren into the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come here as well. They referred to the disciples as people who have turned the world upside down. What does that mean, to upend something? Y'all remember the movie Titanic with Leonardo DiCaprio? And how as the ship was sinking or turning sideways, and all the furniture and everything was, it was sliding around everywhere and all that kind of stuff. And then you see movies where a boat flips over and everything is upended and everything just goes nuts. You know, when a common world experiences an uncommon God with uncommon power, it upends our common world. Well, that's the way the New Testament church started out, and that's the way God wants this New Testament church to look like today, where we are seeing things and doing things that are so far out there. You know, they always say that if you're not living life on the edge of your seat, you're taking up too much space. And so I my deal is this. I don't want to be touching the seat. I want to be just like this, ready for what God has next. You know, in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, it talks about some of the things that God's going to do in the last days. And so some of the things that God's going to do, prophesy through people and signs and wonders through different people. Listen, I would love to be one of those people that God uses in such a uncommon, abnormal way. I wrote this down. This is just something to think about. There's 400 years between dreaming Joseph and when dreaming Joseph, his dream was fulfilled. He went into the land of Egypt. And there was 400 years from that point all the way to Moses and talking about the children of Israel in 400 years of bondage. You don't hear a whole lot of what happened. As a matter of fact, the only way you can know about what happened in that 400 years is by just studying normal Jewish history, which is really interesting to find out what the Jews were like during that time. And so all that, there were some dead periods. There were some gaps, I guess you can say. And so we see gaps also later on between the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, and then the first book of the New Testament was 400 years also. You just don't hear. So there's some times where you're just not seeing a whole lot of stuff happening. Well, further on, I believe the last book of the Bible, I believe it was written in 96 A.D. Well, in 96 A.D., you don't hear a whole lot of great things happening until about the 1500s, where Martin Luther recognized something in the Bible that was profound, that was against common religion, and that was that we are saved not through penance, not by good works, not by doing everything perfect, but by believing on what Jesus did on the cross, through the grave, and being resurrected. When Martin Luther found that out and the Reformation happened, that changed things. So that was 1,500 years. Nothing. That's why they call that period the Dark Ages. There wasn't no light. There wasn't nothing good or great happening. But then you go from Martin Luther in the 1500s, and you just don't see a whole lot until the 1800s, and you hear about some revivals. You know, the Welsh revival in Great Britain, and then you hear sporadically some great things happening. But you don't see anything significant until about 1906, when Azusa Street, a big incident where the Holy Spirit just absolutely inundated a little church in the Los Angeles area, and just, man, the Spirit of God was poured out. And so are you seeing these gaps where nothing happened, it was just common, and then all of a sudden, whoa, and then we have some more common times, and then whoa. Well, listen, it seems like over the last several years, Christianity has just been kind of common. But here is what God wants. God doesn't want things to look really normal. You know, this passage just read about how these guys were known as people that has turned the world upside down. You know, I believe that verse that I put on our church Facebook post this weekend was 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that says, "We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of God." Everyone say, look at your neighbor and say, "You're peculiar." Yeah, yeah. That means a little on the different side. That means a little different. You know, I like being different. As a matter of fact, I sometimes do things and I wonder, I'm like, "Oh my God, that was so stupid." And, you know, I'll do things and I'm thinking, man, I don't know what people think about me. You know what I mean? Which, y'all know me, I just don't care, right? And so you know, just crazy things happen. But at the same time, we have to recognize that we were not created to just be normal. We were created to stick out. Now, I stick out in a lot of ways because I'm real loud. And so you can hear me from a long distance and from a lot of places I reverberate. And that's great. But what I'm saying is we got to have some proof in the pudding. You know, I don't want to be known as just a common Christian. You know, as a minister, a lot of people think we're very different as pastors. Years ago, we went on a cruise, and I'm believing God for another cruise because cruises are my favorite vacations. And I ain't been on a cruise in a long time. You know, Keys did, but I ain't been in a while. And so anyhow, so one time, this is pre-kids, we were on a cruise, and we were on an excursion, and we were, I forgot what the whole excursion was, but the last part of that excursion, we were on at a beach, on some inner tubes, and we're just kind of chilling, and everybody that was on that excursion, we were just chilling. That was the end of that excursion. We just chilled until it was time to get back in the taxi or whatever and head back to the port. And so we're chilling with this, we had been with this a couple of couples, and we're just talking and chilling. And so finally they asked, you know, they'd known, we asked where they're from. They're from Alabama, and we told them we were from the Dallas area. And so finally the lady asked me, she goes, "Now what do you do out there in the Dallas area?" And I said, "Well, I'm a pastor." And she immediately says, "No, you're not." And the husband kind of looks at her and says, "Honey, why would he lie about that?" And of course, I'm just thinking, that was strange. You know, that was strange. Why would somebody not believe? Well, because, you know, it seems like a lot of pastors are fuddy-duddies. A lot of pastors, they try to, you know, because seminaries teach you how to polish your conduct and teaches you how to polish your, how you talk and how you present yourself and even how to pray. You know, you don't think people pray like that all the time. Anyway, so all that being said, I didn't go to seminary. So I'm not polished, and I haven't learned how to have good conduct as a preacher. That's why I'm just a little on the weird side, and that's okay. I'm uniqua. But here's the thing. My deal is, I don't care how crazy people think I am, am I the guy that they go to for prayer? That's what I want to know. Because that is what would bless my socks off. Now I don't know if I'm that guy or not, but again, I want to be sure that I'm that peculiar person. Now, so far, so good. So far, so good. If something's crazy happening, now I like it when they say, Michael Moon is around, we're okay. You know, after a situation at school the other day, I had one of the parents in our class text me a really sweet text and say, Mr. Moon, I'm just glad you're around. And I thought, well, praise God, because I recently had someone think I was a cult. And so I thought, well, all right, okay. He don't like me, she likes me, but I don't care. It's kind of one of those, what am I saying? I'm saying this, is that we should begin to stick out. We should look different. We should sound different. Now, let me just tell you the bad side of that, because there's a negative side when we talk about being different. You know, I grew up in old school Pentecostal churches where they thought that looking different means wearing certain clothes and having no makeup and no jewelry, and you can't really do this to your hair, and you couldn't, you know, girls couldn't wear this and guys couldn't wear this. And let me tell you something. I think makeup is great. I appreciate makeup. You know why? Because, you know what, if a barn needs paint, what do? You paint it. Amen? You got to do it. You know, if it's peeling, you scrape it and you repaint it. Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do, right? And so now thank God guys don't wear makeup, but, well, they do nowadays, especially at Target, right? All right. No comment. All right. That was the last place I saw one. And so, you know, we had friends that would, we would shudder to take them. All right, so Keza, there's a certain makeup that she buys that doesn't do her face wrong, but to get it, we have to go to North Park. And so we had to go to North Park one day to buy it, and we had some friends from West Texas with us from the Panhandle, and their stuff, that West Texas, they just hadn't seen before. And so I'm just like, look behind you. And so anyway, it was like, oh my gosh, it was, welcome to Dallas, sir. Welcome to Big D. All right, let's get back to wherever I was going. All right, so back to this right here. So what I'm saying is there's been some gaps in the wow, in the abnormal. And so now it's normal to look normal. It's normal to have, well, you know, we're just trying to get through this Christian life. I said it this way, I believe, last week. You know, if we're not excited about what God is doing and what He has planned, then we might be lulled into just common Christianity. Because here's the thing, God is so awesome that He wants awesome happening in our life. And so a lot of times we think, well, you know, if I serve God all the way, He's going to make me go to Africa. Thank God, I've never been to Africa. And all my friends, you know, when we graduate Bible school, we're going to Africa. We're going to go to the mission field. Y'all go to Africa. Lord bless Africa. I don't want to go. I have no desire to go. You know, a lot of people talk about going to the Holy Land and all. I don't really want to go to the Holy Land. I mean, I think it's cool. I love the history. It'd be neat to experience it. I'd rather not. I'm fine. I am not. And so just because somebody else does all this stuff don't mean I have to do all that stuff. You have your own uniqueness about you. Now, let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23. Because I think a lot of times when we talk about God using common man for uncommon things, it seems we only look at, we see the New Testament, and then the old religious statement, oh, well, you know, that was Jesus' original disciples, blah, blah, blah. He did nice things through them. Well, I want to show you some things that was way, way, way before those disciples. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, and let's look at verse 8. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had. Now, I'm going to try to say these names, but I might butcher them, so y'all just bear with me. Josheb, Basabeth, okay? The Tachmonite, chief among the captains. He also called Adino and Eznite because he killed 800 men at one time. Okay, now that's not normal, okay, that one man killed 800 men at one time. That's not normal, is it? That is abnormal. Okay, all right. And then this gets even worse. Verse 9, and then after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo. Now, see, I love that. Because now you can call someone Dodo and say it's biblical. You Dodo. All right. The Ahoahite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there at the battle, the men of Israel had retreated. He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord brought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him to plunder. Okay, so this dude fought so long and so hard that his hand was stuck to his sword. Okay, that's not normal. And then after the battle, they went and plundered. What does plunder mean? It means taking the spoils of war. You know, I've actually studied Old Testament warfare, and you'll find that it was always the will of God if His people were going off to war, they were always to come back with spoils. And so there was always supposed to be spoils when they come back from war. Well, you know, that hasn't changed. And so when you are under spiritual attack, God wants you to come back with spoils. Not just victory, but victory and spoils. So this guy, he had a sword just stuck to his hand. Verse 11, after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Harahite. The Philistines had gathered into a troop where there was a piece of ground filled with lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines, but he stationed himself in the middle of the field and defended it and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Paul, remember our Mexican in the Bible. So I preached this passage right here, and my passage was there was a Mexican in the Bible. And the reason why is because I lentils are like beans, right? And you got to love beans to protect your beans. For you to be standing in a bean patch and defend beans, you got to have a love. And so therefore, so I usually have my can of beans with me. Paul and I did a youth camp this summer in Kauffman, and I did my little illustrated sermon with my can of refried beans. And I said, did y'all know there was a Mexican in the Bible? And they're like, what? No, I didn't know that. And so anyway, I was kidding though. So anyway, but this dude, listen, it is not normal for someone to just defend a bean patch, okay? A bean patch. Now, I know you might like beans. Now, I make some mean refried beans. I'll tell you right now. I can make some mean refried beans, and I make a real good tortilla soup with beans in there also. But what I'm saying is, if you want some beans, I'll give you some beans. I have no problem. And plus, you know, if the bean patch is not a tactical advantageous position, I'm going to let it go till I find me a tactical position. You know what I mean? So I can rout you or whatever, counter or ambush, whatever. But what I'm saying, they did non-normal things. They were abnormal. See, God used normal, common people to do abnormal, uncommon things long before there was disciples and long before the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what I'm saying today is God wants to do abnormal things in us, through us, and for us. I'll say this and I'll close. We gave the testimony a few years back. We had been teaching on debt freedom, and we had a man who had been divorced. His ex-wife, before that the divorce was finalized, she had ran up $10,000 worth of American Express credit card debt. And so when the divorce was finalized, he got that. He inherited that $10,000 worth of credit card debt. And, you know, you can only do so much. You know, he's trying to pay the interest and all this. And we start talking about sowing seed to believe God for supernatural harvest. So anyhow, 2 weeks go by. And after the first week, I mean, he sowed $2. But that's all he had extra. Because I don't believe we're supposed to load our credit card to plant a seed. Now, if you want to use your credit card and you have the money to pay that off, that's one thing. But, you know, a lot of people, well, you know, my credit card's maxed out and I can't pay it, but I'm going to put another seed on the credit card. I don't believe that. I don't believe we're supposed to do that. Let's believe God for some seed. And so anyhow, so he was sowing a dollar here, $2 here. I mean, the first time was $2, and the next time, all he had was a dollar. I mean, they're believing God for living expenses. The third week comes, he comes back to me and he says, Pastor Michael, you're not going to believe this. Anytime somebody says you're not going to believe this, I love it. Because typically I'm going to believe it, but it was unbelievable. Thank God God does uncommon, abnormal things. He said, I got a letter in the mail from a collection agency. An attorney for the collection agency. His debt had gone to two different collection agencies already, and now this attorney for this collection agency sent him this letter, and in this letter was a copy of a statement from American Express, and the balance said zero. Basically, this company, I don't know what happened, but they canceled $10,000 worth of American Express debt that this man had. But here's the kicker. For some goofy, abnormal reason, there was a check from that law office to this church member for $100. Now, it's one thing for American Express to knock out $10,000 worth of debt that's been there for a long time. But it's just flat out stupid for this guy to send this attorney, this debt-collecting attorney, to send this man $100. You say, that's only $100. Only $100? Why even send a penny? They just canceled out $10,000. What I'm saying is God wants to do some abnormal things for us, but we have to begin to believe God for the abnormal. Listen, we don't serve a normal God. We serve a supernatural God who wants to do supernatural things in our life. I'll give you a scripture. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 11. It says this: the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead will quicken or make alive your mortal bodies. Now listen to this. Think about it. The same Spirit. Jesus is crucified. He's been beaten and crucified and stabbed in the side. And he gave up the ghost. They didn't kill him. He died. And so they put him in the grave. 3 days later, the Bible explains it was the Spirit of the living God that raised Jesus from the dead. Dead-raising Spirit. Well, the Bible says in Romans 8:11, that self-same dead-raising Spirit is on the inside of you. For what purpose? Well, if He raised Jesus from the dead, do you think that maybe that same Spirit wants to do some uncommon things in our life and through our lives? You see, it is true that God wants to do some stuff in our lives, but while His Spirit is on the inside of us, He also wants to do some things through our lives. Man, I'm telling you what. I think the day of the uncommon, the day of the normal, has got to come to an end where you and I begin to see some abnormal things that God does. You know, He never stopped doing it. He never stopped doing these abnormal things. You know, many of y'all know of Andrew Womack Ministries, and we've been tithing to that ministry. Our church tithes, and we believe God directed us to tithe to that ministry specifically at this time. And so, but that ministry is real interesting. You know, of course, Andrew Womack is from the North Texas area. You know, of course, his ministry is based in Colorado in Woodland Park now. There was a time when they had moved to Colorado where his son, and I forgot how he died. I can't remember how he died. But his son had died, had been dead for over an hour. As a matter of fact, they had toe-tagged him, and he was turning blue, and they had wheeled him into the morgue. But while Andrew Womack and his wife were driving to the hospital, it was an hour drive from their house around the mountain to where the hospital was, they were praising God for life. They prayed, and then they prayed once. And they were praising God, "Father, I thank You that he will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord." Well, when they got to the hospital, because they had heard, it was a long time before, he was dead a long time before they actually heard that he was dead, okay? So when they got to the hospital, they walk into the hospital and he was up. Evidently, in the morgue, while he was already turning blue or black or whatever you get into, you know, he rose up. And I can't remember, but I don't know if the guy that the morgue guy peed his pants or what, but it was a bad deal for that guy. But he raised from the dead. Listen, it's one thing, you know, that where people think that they had an illness and they thought they were dead, the pulse is real weak, and they listen, if they're turning black, you know somebody was dead. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is that was under 40 years ago, or right around 40 years ago. But what I'm saying is that's recently. There's a lot of things going on now. You know, there was another situation, and I'll stop with this. Many of y'all have seen this. There's an evangelist, Reinhard Bonnke. He was a German evangelist. He recently went home to be with the Lord. Was in a German evangelist to the nation of Africa. He would have 1 million people in his crusades. Well, he was at a church. Before the crusades would happen, he would meet with all the leadership in the area so that when these people get saved, they would have churches where they can actually go to when they got saved. Because you want to plug people into church. And Billy Graham would do that. He'd make sure there's churches ready to receive these people that got saved. And so anyhow, this lady's husband got killed in a car accident. He was already prepared for burial, if you know what I mean. Okay? Prepared. They had to kick her out of the funeral home, kick her out of the morgue because she would not let her husband die. I mean, she just kept going in there. Finally, she grabbed his body, got some friends, got his body, and brought it over to the basement of the church that the man of God was at. He had heard about that, but Lord didn't speak to him. Lord didn't speak to him to go down there and raise a guy from the dead. But they were in this basement, and they were praying, and that the woman wouldn't let go. She would not quit. And so finally, I don't know how many hours went by, but all of a sudden, this man started to get warm. You know, he was cold, of course. And then by the end of that day, the man was up. He was talking. He was walking. He had been prepared. He had been prepared. You know what that's like. He had been prepared. What I'm saying is that is abnormal. What I'm saying is that we don't serve a God of the normal. We serve a God of the abnormal. I told you the story about my mom getting hit by that car at 45 to 50 miles an hour. The bumper, the steel bumper bent, but her leg just got bruised. I can go on and on and on. Why? Because we have an abnormal God. And God desires to do abnormal in your life and in my life, through your life and through my life. And I believe it's time to give him the invitation to do so. Amen? Let's stand. It gets worse. So I'm in Atwoods this week. I had to go up. I was in the area and they have the bigger bag of cat food, the outside ranch cat food. You know what I mean? Ranch hand cat food. It's for all ages of cats. We have usually all ages of cats outside. And so I went up there and got some cat food. And I'm in the Atwoods parking lot. And I made a mistake of listening. I was listening to this evangelist on who passed away several years ago, R.W. Shambach. And so I'm ready to bite something. You know what I mean? I'm ready to hit something, bite something, kick something, whatever. And so I see this guy across the parking lot. He was hobbling to his truck. He had a brace on his leg. And so I got my truck and I ran over there, rolled the window down. Hey, I'm hollering. Hey, what's wrong with your leg? He didn't speak much English. Oh, okay. And so I'm pulling up, asking about his leg. And I think the truck barely stopped before I had the door open. Well, already before the truck stopped. I said, what's wrong with your leg? And he says, I don't know. I don't think, I mean, he probably did know. He was just like freaked out, some freak dude, you know. And so I'm jumping out of my truck and he's just kind of looking at me. And I said, what's wrong with your leg? Is it hurting? He said, yeah. I said, how long has it been hurting? Forever. They said, I don't know. Now I just think he was scared of me. And so I want to pray for you. I said, Jesus wants to heal you. Man, I grabbed his hand. I prayed for him. I let go of his hand and I took off. He looked at me because I don't think he even closed his eyes. He closed his eyes. Then I took off and I thought, you know, I guess I probably should have waited to see if he got healed. But I was just excited to get it done. You know what I mean? What I'm saying is, y'all, it's supposed to get worse with me. I don't want to be normal. I want people to know that guy way over there in the mall, that guy at the Walmart. Man, I heard some dude in Walmart praying for folk. I don't know. It's loud in Walmart. You know how many times people ask me, we're at the front of the Walmart, right there where the checkout is, you know? And one of the checkers are, you know, one of our neighbors, friends of ours, and she asked me to keep her in prayer. I have a hard time keeping people in prayer. I will pray for you right then, but as far as keeping you, as the Lord reminds me, but I will pray. So I did. I lay hands on her right there, and y'all know me. I don't pray real soft. You know what I'm saying? People all walk. She didn't care. She didn't care. She's doing good today. I will say that right now. What am I saying? Man, I'm telling you what. Get ready for God to use you. And listen, people think y'all quiet now, but remember, Peter was a coward. Peter was a coward before the Holy Spirit got a hold of him. He denied Jesus 3 times because he was a coward. He was scared to stand up. And then just a few chapters later, it was a few moments later, you see Peter standing up. The whole town is dogging him for, you know, being drunk or whatever, speaking in weird language. And he stood up and said, and starts preaching, and 3,000 people got saved because a guy who was a coward a few minutes earlier was changed, and now he is abnormal. Man, it is our time, it is our day, and I'm ready for it. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you are not normal. Lord, there's a lot of lower G gods, false gods or religious ideals, and Father, even common Christianity doesn't see this abnormal stuff that we have seen throughout our lives. But Father, it is your will for the abnormal to begin to go through the body of Christ globally. And Lord, I want it to start with me and with us. And so Lord, this morning, we just declare, we say we are ready and we are available. And Lord, I know that you're not looking for Mr. and Mrs. Perfect. You never have. Lord, you took Peter, who was a cussing sailor fisherman. You took Matthew, who was a tax collector and probably a crooked one. Lord, you took all these different people. Lord, you even had a on staff holding the money. But Father, you look for someone who will just make no excuses, who will allow themselves to be available, to be used by you. And Lord, we are those people that are not afraid to be known as abnormal. And so, Father, we just thank you for looking at us and recognizing that we're usable. I thank you that you're not looking for perfection. And so, Lord, today I believe that you're ready to utilize what you got in Jesus' name. Now, I'm just going to ask you, if that's you, you are ready to be used by God to start seeing the abnormal, I want you just to make this declaration. Father, in Jesus' name, I'm tired of normal. I'm tired of what's common. I want to live an exciting life, an adventurous life, a supernatural life, an abnormal life. Use me, Father. Do great things in me and through me. I'll be used by you. I won't be afraid. I'm ready to pull the trigger for God. In Jesus' name, amen.